The big story from Sunday was Mike McCarthy taking back play-calling duties, which seemed to jumpstart the Green Bay Packers offense on the way to a 28-7 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. To recap that game, we have joining us today Zach Roethlisberger of LombardiAve.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a win over the Dallas Cowboys. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Zach Roethlisberger of LombardiAve.com, part of the Fansided Network. He can also be heard on WIPZ in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he's the sports director. Mr. Roethlisberger, how you doing today?
Very good. Good game last night, and what a resurgence we saw in this football team, and happy to be here this morning.
Yes, very good. Now, the story of the day is Mike McCarthy taking back play-calling duties. To kick things off, what impact do you think Mike McCarthy had on the outcome of the game?
Well, I was one of those skeptical people originally. I thought McCarthy had a huge hand in play calling all season. But coming into this game, really studying the plays that they ran yesterday, it's evident that this was a huge step in the right direction. The screen game was able to get going. They were able to continuously pound the football, ran the ball 35 times yesterday between Starks and Lacy. So, huge impact on the game tempo-wise. This is ultimately the right decision, which I was proved wrong. Like I said, I thought McCarthy had a huge hand in play calling all season. I didn't think this change was going to be made, but it seems to be a huge step in the right direction for the Green Bay Packers.
I'm right there with you. I wasn't against it. I said all along, if Mike McCarthy takes back play calling duties, I'd be like, okay, I'll go along with it. But I didn't think it was going to have a big impact, and it did. I mean, just the commitment to the run game is something that's been missing. Zach, I know you could say it's probably a better late than never kind of thing, but did McCarthy now, in hindsight, as we look back at this, did he wait too long to take back the play calling reins from Tom Clements?
I don't believe so. You look at how this team started off 6-0 to start off the season going into the bye week. And then you look at the Denver and Carolina loss. I thought those were, although they looked bad against Denver, I thought those were kind of more acceptable in my eyes. And then you look at the first Detroit game. And after that game, I thought you maybe could have saw this change if it was going to happen. But then the next week, they showed some resurgence and scored 30 points against the Vikings in Minnesota. So, if you're looking at it, maybe they could have made the change going in to Detroit last week, which they were fortunate enough to pull off. But I thought this was the right time to make this change. Three games remaining on the schedule now against Oakland, Arizona, and Minnesota. I thought this was going to be the right time to make this change. And like I said, it's been a huge step in the right direction for this team moving forward.
We kind of alluded to the run game here, but to talk about these players who really, you know, jump-started it themselves, the Packers' run game was key in gaining over 200 yards. Do you think anything changed in Eddie Lacy's approach over the course of the past week? Of course, coming off the broken curfew and demotion against the Lions the week before, or was it simply a product of feeding him the football more than 20 times?
I think it was a combination of both. Eddie Lacy came into this week rejuvenated. The coaches were high on him and how he performed in practice this week. And then they were able to hand him the ball 24 times yesterday, which is a season high in carries for him. So I think it was a combination of both. Whenever Eddie Lacy has gotten more than 15 carries, he's produced this week, or this year, excuse me. And like I said, he performs in December. We've seen it time and time again with him in his career. So I think it was a combination of both. I think he was rejuvenated coming into this game, and it was a combination of giving them the ball 24 times with the combination of his attitude changing as well after the Detroit game and that mishap.
Yeah, maybe there was a problem with Eddie Lacy early in the year. It's hard to know exactly without being there in the locker room what's going on. But, man, you sit there and look in hindsight, and you look at this, you know, kind of tough stretch the Packers went through, and you kind of wish they would have given Eddie Lacy the ball more back then. Again, without being there, it's tough for me to say anymore. But with the other guy in the Packers backfield, James Starks, Zach, he was pretty good in his own right. Do you anticipate more of the same this season, kind of this timeshare at the running back position the rest of the year?
I do. And look, if they want to hand the ball off 35 times like they did yesterday, I'm totally okay with, you know, a 24-11 split, or even if you want to bring those numbers closer together. James Starks, 71 yards yesterday. I had the big touchdown. If this is the direction they want to go, if they want to hand the ball off 35 times like they did yesterday, and they want to try to get this ground game going these final three games, I have no problem with Starks and Lacy splitting time.
We're talking to Zach Roethlisberger of Lombardi Ave here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Zach, what impact do you think a healthier offensive line had on the game? Unlike last week when Brian Bulaga and TJ Lang were both missing, they're back this week. What impact do you think that had on both the run and the pass game?
Well, they allowed two sacks yesterday, but it was huge, Brian. If you remember, the team was a snap away or a play away from having Brett Good, the team's long snapper, come in and play offensive line last week. It seemed to be the next stand up role. They were down on depth. Josh Walker came into the game. So having Lane and Bulaga back was absolutely essential. Aaron Rodgers looked to be more comfortable in the pocket, and the run game got going as well. And been saying it all season, J.C. Tretter has played phenomenal. I want to see the Packers move with him moving forward as the permanent starter of this football team over Corey Linsley.
Well, that's going on a limb. I think Linsley's done a good job. I've got nothing bad to say about J.C. Tretter, and I guess you could just say the Packers are in a good position having some of the best depth at the center position in the league. No matter who's out there, I think they're in good shape. But regardless, moving our attention to the defense here, what do you think of the job that first Sam Shields did and then Demaryius Randle did when Shields went out with a concussion guarding Dez Bryant?
Well, Shields had the big tip interception, which was a huge momentum builder. Took basically 7 points off the board for the Cowboys. Dez Bryant did not have a very good football game yesterday. I struggled all season, but that was a large part due to the play of both Shields and Randle. And look, Demaryius Randle, everybody wants to talk about Marcus Peters and Ronald Darby this season for Defensive Rookie of the Year, but I don't see any reason why this kid can't be thrown in the talk. I know Dez Bryant dropped a couple passes yesterday, but every one of those passes, Demaryius Randle was right there. I'm talking about the play over the middle where Dez Bryant dropped. Demaryius Randle couldn't have played that any better, and he stuck Dez Bryant the rest of the game as well as any rookie in the NFL could. So huge part of the win yesterday was the play of Sam Shields and then Demaryius Randle.
Yeah, Demaryius Randle absolutely should be in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Still 3 games to go and still time to win or lose that for any player, but I'm right there with you. He's been a good one. How much did the Packers miss the pass rush from Clay Matthews, who had his first sack in 8 games yesterday? Almost hard to believe it's been that long of a streak without it.
Yeah, Clay Matthews this season's made the permanent move from the outside to the middle linebacker position. And I'm all for trying to get him back on the outside, not this season, but hopefully next year. When they're able to get Clay Matthews rushing the passer, that adds a whole other dimension to this football team. You saw it yesterday. It was huge, Brian. You know, a sack for him. Guys like Jerome Elliott got pressure on the quarterback. Clay Matthews, his ability to get pressure on anybody is among the best in the National Football League. So they missed, that was a huge part of their defense they were missing, like you said, the last 8 games. And hopefully they can kind of mix it up to where they're able to utilize him a little more rushing the passer moving forward.
Yeah, they're going to have to address that inside linebacker position in this upcoming NFL draft rather high if they want, if they ever want to get Clay Matthews back on the outside again. Zach, what's your level of concern that the Packers gave up several long running plays to the Cowboys? Is this something they can fix going forward? Because that was the worst part of yesterday's game.
Yeah, and it's something we're going to need to have to, obviously. You look at the Cowboys' first drive, they moved the football right down the field before the Sam Fields interception, and then they came out in the second half and did the exact same thing. The Packers adjusted on it well after those two drives, but when you play teams like Oakland with Derek Carr and Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals, Adrian Peterson in the Minnesota Vikings these next 3 weeks, you're not going to be able to afford plays like they had happen yesterday. So I think it's something you can adjust on, something you can fix. But like I said, you can't afford to do that these next 3 weeks as we get into a postseason push here.
Yeah, they had to, you know, I think adjust their focus and really stop the run yesterday. And they kind of did down the stretch a little bit better, especially when you got a quarterback like Matt Castle, who I think you got to make him beat you and focus on stopping the run, because he definitely wasn't all that impressive in relief of Tony Romo. How impressive was Jeff Janis, though, on punt returns, or punt coverage, I guess I should say, on special teams and often overlooked phase of the game? But he sure looked good, didn't he?
Absolutely, and that's why Packer fans have come to love this kid. He gives 110% on every special teams play he's out there. He's played well in special teams all year. And a lot of people have talked about the wide receiver position for him, but look, I was having this conversation with my staff last night. Why couldn't Jeff Janis be, if the wide receiver thing doesn't work out, I would have no problem with the Packers keeping Jeff Janis on to play a special teams role like he did last night. You look at what the New England Patriots do with Matthew Slater, watching them last night. So I think Jeff Janis, the ability he shows on special teams with the combination of the effort that he shows, is why Packer fans have loved him. I played well last night, and they're going to need that moving forward. They're going to need that kind of X-factor play with how this football team's been playing the last, 6 weeks here to, you know, kind of give them an edge, I guess, over these next three games and into the playoffs.
Yeah, that performance was Pro Bowl caliber from a special teams player. I actually went and looked it up. You can't even vote for Jeff Janis for the Pro Bowl on special teams. He's not even an option when you go to NFL.com. I looked at, I can't see anywhere you can put a write in. It's too bad. But maybe next year we'll get Jeff Janis in the Pro Bowl on special teams. Zach, but before we let you go, I guess I just want to know your thoughts on what's to come here for the Green Bay Packers. Can they take this momentum into two consecutive road games on the West Coast and eventually into the playoffs?
I believe so, and it starts this week in Oakland. I'm glad that they're not faced with the Arizona Cardinals this week, which, you know, is a game everybody's had circled, but the Oakland Raiders coming off a big win over the Denver Broncos yesterday, I believe they can take this momentum into Oakland and, you know, win a pretty handedly football game there. And then you look at the Arizona game, that's going to be a tough one. But, you know, that game might have some later implications on the playoffs. Minnesota is not they're not hitting on all cylinders right now as they were at the beginning of the season. This team right now, everybody's hoping they can, you know, pick off two of these remaining three games here, getting into the playoffs with that third seed, which they're probably going to see Minnesota and then Arizona again. So I think the momentum, from a momentum standpoint, definitely they can carry that on these remaining three games here into the playoffs.
We're looking forward to it, Zach. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, providing a little insight and analysis. Keep up the good work at LombardiAv.com. We'll send people there to do a little bit of reading. And thanks again, Zach, and enjoy next week's game.
Absolutely, Brian. Thanks for having me, and maybe we can do this again somewhere down the line.
Sounds good. Take care. Zach Roethlisberger of LombardiAv.com joining us this morning on Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, yesterday on Sunday, they beat the Dallas Cowboys 28-7, improved to 9-4 on the year, are within now sole possession of first place in the NFC North. Not that the Minnesota Vikings couldn't get back into contention. They have a head-to-head meeting yet, so the Packers have to try to stay one step ahead of this Vikings team. And in fact, could meet the Vikings in the playoffs as well. Wouldn't that be something to face them week 17 and then turn around and face them right again? There's a little bit of time to play out, but that's you know, keep that in the back of your mind here as we get through the conclusion of the regular season here. Anyway, as we always do on Monday, we use the Chips Report published at 24/7 Sports to as kind of a roadmap to look at yesterday's game and look at some of the performances. And the Chips Report never includes coaches. It's kind of a way to analyze the players on the field. But I mean, that's not to take away from Mike McCarthy, who I think was the story of the game yesterday, him taking back play calling duties. And to be fair, I mean, we spent a good amount of time at the beginning of the show talking about that. So he got his due. Let's talk about some of these players. The blue chip players is the running back combination, both Eddie Lacy and James Starks. Eddie Lacy makes up, he redeems himself from the performance or the off-field performance, I guess, a week ago, the night before the Lions game, breaking curfew, gets a demotion, only gets 5 carries a week ago, and he gets disciplined, and you could tell the Packers, right from the start of the week, wanted to just put that behind them. They wanted, you could tell, I mean, and reports came out, actually, yesterday, Sunday, that Mike McCarthy reached out to Nick Saban at the University of Alabama, who knows Eddie Lacy quite well, knows what makes him tick, and suggested to take the game away from him. And that's what the Packers did. And it, you know, looks like as if that was kind of the right thing to do. It was a proper punishment. It, you know, it wasn't as if they, you know, it wasn't anything extreme with Eddie Lacy. He wasn't, you know, breaking any laws. He wasn't getting in trouble with the police or anything. But, you know, they just give him a demotion. He still played, but he only got 5 carries. And he talked about after the game how, you know, it really, how much that meant to him. He said he was like something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing here, he's miserable without football. So he understood that, you know, he probably had to do things a little bit better. And man, that's, you know, for, you know, things that get negative attention like this, sometimes they can go really bad. You know, whether it's getting in trouble with the law or you just have a malcontent in the locker room. And not to say Eddie Lacy's that. But if you do have that type of player, it just sometimes it doesn't get better like this. This really kind of was a little bit of a storybook ending for Eddie. I shouldn't say an ending. There's still a lot of season to play out. But he was just so contrite and was like, yeah, I made a mistake. And you really, this is all played out very well. And you hope it just continues to play out that way. So it's nice to see somebody admit to their mistake like Eddie Lacy. And again, it wasn't a huge mistake, but probably when you're a professional football player, he just needed to realize his attention, his focus, his whatever preparation wasn't what it needed to be to play for the Green Bay Packers. If you want to compete for a Super Bowl, there's got to be a little bit more, you know, commitment, dedication to the game than what Eddie Lacy had. And hopefully we saw that. But I do think earlier in the year, maybe they wouldn't have come to this point had Mike McCarthy been calling plays earlier in the year. I really was, you know, think that the Packers didn't give enough attention to the run game early on. And, you know, had Eddie Lacy been getting 20 carries a game early in the year, and I don't, you can also make the argument that maybe it's good that they're preserving him for down the stretch there, because now they're really going to ride him from here on out. You know they are going to ride Eddie Lacy for the rest of the season. And hopefully, I mean, he came out of yesterday's game healthy, and that's really good. And hopefully it just stays that way. The other blue chip performer, James Starks, and I thought what was so good about his performance is he made contributions in both the running and the passing game. He had over 100 yards from scrimmage, 70-some rushing, 30-some passing, and he scores a touchdown each way. He has the, I forget the distances. He, of course, the most impressive one was the 30-yard run in the fourth quarter by James Starks that really kind of started to create some distance between the Packers and the Cowboys at the time and made it, you know, tough for the Cowboys to come back or make it a game. And then earlier, of course, with the touchdown reception from Aaron Rodgers, gets the Packers on the board right away, first score of the game. So to make those contributions both ways was really big for James Starks. And it kind of looked like right away, it may not have been a good game. Because, you know, that last game against the Detroit Lions, James Starks had two fumbles and did really not have a good game. And he kind of, you know, he didn't lose either fumble. So it went, you know, kind of flew under the radar a little bit, especially in light of the Hail Mary come from behind win and all the hullabaloo about that. But James Starks doesn't have a good game. He's got two fumbles. And then, you know, this game right away, their first quarter, they give him the ball at the goal line and they call touchdown and it ends up reversed. And it looks like he kind of lost possession. You're like, oh no, here we go again with James Starks. But he rebounded from that, did really well and made, you know, contributions to the Packers in multiple ways this game and really, really did a good job. Very deserving of being a blue chip performer in this performance from him. Your red chip performers, the good, not great players. Randall Cobb, his best performance in weeks, 8 receptions. That is his most number of receptions since week 2 of the season when he also had 8. So ties a season high. And you can kind of look at it, and they only went for 81 yards. And I suppose that's why he's in the red chip category and not the blue chip. But it's amazing, despite averaging just 10 yards a catch, how many of those catches went for first downs. It seems like every time he caught the ball, the chains were moving. And he was just such a sure-handed type of guy who, you know, the other receivers still really were not getting all that much separation. James Jones, Devontae Adams. Randall Cobb is the one guy who could a little bit on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys gain a little bit of separation. And it probably helped that the Cowboys played surprisingly a lot of zone. And I wonder how much the weather had an impact like that, because the blueprint to the victory, as teams have found out, is to play man-to-man press coverage against these Packers wide receivers who, by and large, can't get separation. And kind of puzzlingly, the Cowboys played a lot of zone, not to say they didn't play man-to-man at all. But Cobb made him pay. And I thought what was really impressive was his determination to get north and south. As soon as he would secure the ball, he made it a point to get upfield. And, you know, I sat there one time yesterday, and, it, you know, it's a nitpicking when it's just one time. But, you know, James Jones kind of put on a little juke that slowed him down. And had he just put his shoulder down and got what he could have, he probably would have had a first down. But he ends up, it came on a first down. I think it was first and 10, and it ends up being like second and 1 or something like that. But he could have gotten the first down had he just not tried to put a juke on and slow down. Unlike Randall Cobb, who just secured the football and turned right upfield. You know, not having to juke guys unless he had to or things like that. Just trying to get what was there. and he had the one where he was tiptoeing along the sideline, and had he not gone out of bounds, he might have gotten a touchdown, but he just barely stepped out of bounds. Great day from Randall Cobb. They actually get him involved in the backfield for the first time in several weeks, or at least to that extent. He had three carries, and one of them wasn't really good, although they let Sean Lee unblock the Cowboys' fantastic middle linebacker, so you can certainly understand how that play didn't have any success. But then they gave the ball.
News of the day.
Sorry about that, folks. I didn't mean to do that. Cobb, in two more carries, had positive contributions on the ground. A gain of 3 yards, a gain of 7 yards. That was really good. So they got him involved there. And, of course, his blocking, too. That should not go unnoticed. Randall Cobb, especially on the 30-yard touchdown run by James Starks, does a really good job and makes some contributions there. Your other red chip performer, Jayrone Elliott, Packers. Linebacker, I thought deserved a little bit of love. You certainly could have made arguments for members of the offensive line. You could have made an argument for Jeff Janis. You could have made an argument for Demaryius Randall. All these guys kind of red chip worthy. I thought Jayrone Elliott really slammed the door on the Cowboys, first of all. The very last drive of the game as they were trying to, you know, just do something. They were down three scores, but Jayrone Elliott comes up with a sack on second down, follows it up, breaking up a pass on fourth down, which turns the ball over on downs, gives the Packers back possession of the football. But even in the first half, he was out there putting pressure on Matt Castle and had a nice tackle in the run game. And it was, you know, Jayrone Elliott's biggest contribution on defense in weeks. You know, he had such a nice start to the season. I think it was the Seattle Seahawks game where he had like two sacks or something like, or he had a sack and an interception. It was really starting to come on, and you thought, wow, why are they getting away from him? And maybe it was because Nick Perry was inactive this game and they just needed a little bit more from other guys out there. But I thought Jayrone Elliott really did well. And on a day that, you know, maybe some of the other linebackers on the team really didn't. In fact, your cow chip performers for this game, the what I thought were the worst performances, were from the pair of starting outside linebackers, Mike Neal and Julius Peppers. Mike Neal, neither of them made any contributions in the, you know, in the pass rush really whatsoever, which is a disappointment when Jayrone Elliott does, and he's simply a role player. You expect more from these guys who are out there, a significantly more amount of snaps. And Mike Neal, they also, you know, dropped him into coverage. And I don't fault the Packers for doing that occasionally. I mean, they've had success when you saw, you know, the Super Bowl year 2010 when B.J. Raji drops into coverage. He gets the interception. It's a huge play. I don't really blame him. But then Mike Neal, you just would have thought he's played linebacker long enough for now that when the Cowboys tight end Jason Witten, he settled into a zone, and Mike Neal was just slow to react. Once the guy settles in the zone, you can start closing in on him because he ain't going anywhere. You could tell he was just simply waiting for the pass, and Mike Neal was just slow to react. It ends up being a completion down on the 2 yard line. Just throw that in there. And Julius Peppers just kind of invisible the whole day. And, you know, part of the product is going against a Cowboys offensive line that, yes, is very good. But when you got a future Hall of Fame player like Julius Peppers, let's make a play once in a while. There was nothing out there from Julius Peppers this game. And they weren't alone. You certainly could have made the case for Mike Daniels. He met his match for once. After weeks of borderline dominant play for Mike Daniels, he didn't do anything in this game. And ha-ha Clynn Dix, he missed a tackle that led to one of those long runs that we talked about earlier. He was the one who got blown up on the play by Lyle Collins, Cowboys' fantastic rookie offensive lineman that went undrafted unbelievably. Ha-ha Clynn Dix did a good job to recover there, actually, and make the tackle, but kind of a forgettable performance for him. So you know, a lot of improvement needed on the defensive side of the football. Hopefully they do figure some things out here for the rest of the season in these games against the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Vikings to end things out here, because they can't allow those big plays, those big ruptures like they did. If they want to end up winning the division and going into the playoffs with some momentum, they got to clean that up. So kind of the worst performances of the day from the, especially the defensive front seven, more than anywhere else. But continuing on.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Monday, it's talk show circuit day. And there will be a lot of opportunities to hear from Packers players, especially this evening. Just a quick recap, and I'll do this at our Packers calendar post here at 24/7 Sports in a little while. But some of the players making appearances today, punter Tim Mastay, and what kind of a he's really done a good job being solid here toward the end of the season, which kind of the opposite of what you expect from a punter. You expect good weather early in the year, ideal conditions. That's when Tim Mastay struggled. Now when the weather's getting bad, he's doing better right now. So anyway, Tim Mastay, he appears on the fifth quarter on WTAQ in Green Bay. Jordy Nelson, although he's injured, he appears on Inside the Huddle on Fox 11 in Green Bay this evening. Linebacker Sam Barrington on the In the Huddle show. Nate Palmer on the Game Plan. That's on WTCX and Fond du Lac. David Bakhtiari and Lane Taylor, a pair of offensive linemen. They appear on Clubhouse Live on Monday night. That's at PackersNews.com. And also, apart from just the media appearances, a pair of rookies, Aaron Ripkowski and Jake Ryan, ringing bells for the Salvation Army here during the holiday season inside Lambeau Field. So you can actually go get autographs from this pair of Packers rookies here. They suggest they give you a $20 donation that they suggest to in order to get their autographs, but it all goes towards charity. So goes toward a good cause, the Salvation Army and their Red Kettle campaign. So that happens Monday night, right inside the Lambeau Field atrium. You can go there. I think the details are at Packers.com. Might be 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Something along those guys. Go and confirm at their website. But that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, and that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on the show today. Thank you to Zach Roethlisberger of Lombardi Ave for joining us. And we'll be back again here on Wednesday on Railbird Central. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, we'd appreciate it if you would go give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It helps us get word out about the show. It's the one small thing we ask in return. If you do that, we'd really appreciate it. Consider it an early Christmas present to us. But thank you to listening to the show first and foremost. We'll be back again Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. Nathan Yonke will be our guest, as always, of Pro Football Focus this upcoming Monday. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.